It's hard to remember a time before masks and social distancing, but it was 1 year ago today that the first case of the coronavirus was confirmed in New York State. A memorial is on display outside of the Suffolk County Administrative Buildings to honor the over 3,000 Suffolk residents who have died and the 155,000 who were sickened by the virus.
Were they sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, grandparents, sisters, brothers? They'll be forever in our hearts for sure. And hopefully our collective prayers will serve as some solace to their families.
That was Suffolk County Legislator Tom Silmy. He says those lives will never be forgotten. Within the last year, New York has had over 1.6 million confirmed cases and over 47,000 COVID-related deaths. That's according to Johns Hopkins. The memorial in Suffolk will be on display throughout March. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Coming up, a second woman has accused Governor Cuomo of sexual harassment. A new paid leave program starts today in Connecticut, and exploring an area of police reform that's often overlooked. I'm Sabrina Garone. A second woman has come forward and accused New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment. Cuomo denies the allegations, but has agreed to make a referral to the state's Attorney General, Letitia James, to conduct an investigation. Karen DeWitt reports.
Charlotte Bennett, a 25-year-old former executive assistant to Cuomo, who told her story to the New York Times on Saturday, joins Lindsay Boylan in accusing Cuomo of harassing, intimidating, and inappropriate behavior. Bennett says beginning last spring, during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, the governor began showing what she felt was an inappropriate interest in her, asking her in private meetings in his office questions about her sex life and whether she was monogamous in her relationships. Bennett says the 63-year-old governor asked her whether she had ever slept with older men and told her that he was open to having relationships with women who are in their 20s. The allegations come 3 days after Lindsay Boylan, a former advisor to Cuomo on economic development policy, said the governor asked her to play strip poker with him while on a 2017 business flight in Cuomo's private jet. She says he also made inappropriate remarks about her appearance and touched her without her permission. On Sunday evening, Cuomo issued a statement addressing both women's allegations, saying that while he never intended to offend anyone or cause any harm, he admits that he does at times act playful and make jokes that he thinks are funny. And he says that he's teased people he works with about their personal lives and relationships. But the governor says he meant no offense, but he now realizes that some of the things he said were misinterpreted as unwanted flirtation, and that he's truly sorry about that. But he says he never inappropriately propositioned or touched anyone. Cuomo, after initial resistance, also gave a referral to Attorney General Tish James. She'll appoint an investigator with full subpoena powers, and Cuomo says he and his staff will fully cooperate. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
About 60% of Connecticut's businesses registered for the state's new paid leave program by today's deadline. That's according to state officials. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
Officials say about 44,000 businesses still haven't registered to provide paid leave benefits to employees who can't work for family or medical reasons. Andrea Barton Reeves is the head of the state's paid leave authority. She says the deadline was originally set for February 1st, but was extended by a month to give businesses more time to register.
We heard very clearly, especially from our small businesses, that they just really needed more time. We're not here to penalize businesses. We're trying to have as much of a cooperative relationship as we can.
Reeves says if businesses don't withhold employee wages for the program, the State Department of Labor could seek money from them to cover the difference. Connecticut is one of only a handful of states, including New York, that offer paid family leave. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Coming up, racial disparities in Suffolk's police department, but first, headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford Healthcare, More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
More than 600,000 Connecticut residents, 55 and over, teachers and other school employees and childcare providers are eligible for the vaccine starting today. To schedule an appointment online, visit ct.gov/COVID vaccine, or you can do it over the phone at 877-918-2244. New Yorkers 65 and over and those with underlying health conditions can sign up to get an appointment online using the I Am Eligible app and by phone at 833-697-4829. Teachers, first responders, and public transit, grocery store, and restaurant workers are also eligible in the state. U.S. Congresswoman Kathleen Rice from Long Island wants answers from Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg about the spread of disinformation campaigns that target veterans on the platform. Rice wants Facebook to provide data on veterans that were targeted by extremist groups involved in the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. A report from NPR says nearly 1 in 5 people charged in the Capitol riots have military experience. Long Island has one of the largest veteran populations in the state. Energy companies Eversource and Ørsted have reached a multi-million-dollar, multi-year host city agreement with the City of New London, Connecticut over the use of State Pier for future offshore wind projects. New London Mayor Mike Passero says despite the Connecticut Port Authority's involvement in the project and their continued dysfunction, he doesn't believe the deal was struck to take the media spotlight off of them. New London was given intervener status that gives them a say over permits for the project. The host agreement will benefit the city with yearly payments of around $1 million for the next 7 years once construction of the offshore wind projects begin. Every police department in New York State is going through a state-mandated reform and reinvention process meant to eliminate racial disparities in policing. But does it address racial disparities in the police department itself? WSHU's Charles Lane spoke with both current and retired Black Suffolk County police officers. They told him it's harder to get on the force and get promoted when you're Black.
In 1981, Richard Wright was at the end of a long conference table being interviewed for a spot in Suffolk's Police Academy.
They asked me, so how did you afford the suit that you had on?
Other Black officers already on the force warned that the interview would be difficult.
At least two occasions I was called to see if I would get angry.
He says the slur was meant to rattle him. Police brass looked down both sides of the table at him.
Like I said, this thing went on for at least 3 hours of questions about my bills, about my background, about my family background, whether it be my in-laws, my finances, on and on.
When it was finished, Wright was so shaken that he couldn't find the door.
I clearly remember walking down the hall, walking down the steps and to my car, which is in the parking lot, and just sitting there and crying. Because I guess I held myself as long as I could. I always had felt that, you know, I was the one that was chosen, that they were going to fail.
Wright served 28 years on the force, retiring in 2009. He's part of a fraternal organization of Black police officers called the Suffolk Guardians. Before the pandemic, Wright still went to meetings.
From what I hear from other officers, no, it's not better. You know, from what I hear from other officers, yes, they do have their difficulties with movement in the department.
Wright was among 8 current and retired officers who described a department where not being white meant it was harder to get hired, harder to get promoted, and ultimately leads to unequal policing. When Wright was first hired, there were roughly 60 Black police officers on the force. Currently, there are 64. The department is overwhelmingly white, 85%. The department has made strides increasing the number of non-white police officers, mostly those who self-report as Hispanic. About 8% of the residents in Suffolk's police district are Black. Less than 3% of the department is Black. If Suffolk County Police wanted to reflect the community it polices, it would need to hire 130 more Black officers, 3 times what it has now.
I mean, the numbers speak for themselves.
Calvin Powell supervised one of the largest increases of minority police officers in the department's history. It started in the 1970s through what was called the Community Service Aid Program.
The purpose of this program was to increase the number of minorities in the police department.
Powell retired in 2010 and is a former president of the Suffolk Guardians. He says the community service aides were permitted to test for the academy. But, he says, many black applicants, to use Wright's words, were chosen to fail. Powell says the department tried to do this to him.
I was given a written psychological examination with a bunch of, you know, vague and arbitrary questions. But the bottom line is I was told shortly after completing this exam that my results were that I had failed this psychological exam.
He appealed, hired a private psychologist, and was admitted to the force. And he went on to serve 30 years to eventually rise and become a hostage negotiator.
Many other African-American police officers that I've talked to over the course of my career that experienced the same exact situation, but in my opinion, it's nothing more than an effort to discourage, then at that time, to discourage African-Americans from joining the police department.
Another former president of the Suffolk Guardians, Kenny Williams, has seen numbers on this.
Well, I know exactly where the numbers fall off, where candidates, African-American candidates, are more likely to fall out. The explanation as to why, I think, has to be investigated.
Williams was in charge of officer recruitment, and he says the department has mostly succeeded in getting black applicants to take the entrance test. It's after that, during the background and, like Powell, the psychological test, where black applicants fail.
There's a lot of subjectivity in those qualifying tests, and that all the standards were not equally applied or cases were handled differently.
Despite multiple requests, Suffolk police officials did not provide demographic statistics on the applicants screened from the academy. A sliver of data was revealed in a civil rights lawsuit where, in 2014, a black applicant passed the entrance test, but he says he was unfairly dismissed because of, like Powell, he failed the psychological test. The data shows that 90% of cadets were white and 4.5% were black, below the police district's population. Suffolk settled the discrimination suit for an undisclosed amount. None of this is a new issue for the department. Suffolk has been routinely criticized for the paucity of black officers since at least 1986, when it entered into a consent decree with the Department of Justice over this very issue. Police officials declined multiple requests for an interview and refused to allow black officers to speak publicly. However, in public meetings regarding police reform, they repeatedly assured skeptics that the department would change. Risco mentioned Lewis is deputy police commissioner. She's African-American.
One woman spoke about, you know, kind of rich white people are going to make the decisions. That's not true in this one. And you may have been true about a lot of one, but not this one. We're all going to make this dialogue. I'm at the table. I'm a deputy police commissioner. I'm doing the research.
Suffolk's Task Force for Police Reform is expected to issue a draft report in the coming days. Its contents are unknown, but one of the task force's subcommittees is focused on hiring in the department. Charles Lane, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. And as always, you can send us your thoughts and story ideas to news@WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford Healthcare. I'm Sabrina Garone.
Thank you.